Good morning and aloha. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show on talk808.com. Calling all my friends out there to tune in and listen in and share your thoughts. If you want to call in and offer some comments, 782-6627 is the number and 808 area code. Going to be chatting about the Big Island Dairy today. And as you know, the Big Island Dairy is on the Big Island of the island of Hawaii. And it sits in Honokoha, the coast, Hamakua coast, above the small village, a town of O'okala. And we've talked about this extensively, but there are new developments and there are signals or words, I'm careful to say, that they're closing down, but we'll, with caution, we'll read some of the communications that we recovered from the state Department of Health Clean Water Branch, who regulates the dairy, this particular dairy, as well as the wastewater department. Now, we haven't received anything from the wastewater department, though we've asked, and we hope to this week. Apparently, they're short of staff or up to the neck in wastewater, or whatever, just too busy to return a call or submit documents. But some interesting things, a little background on this. It's owned by the Whitesides, a family by the name of Whitesides, and they are the dairy itself. And the manager currently, as the records reflect, is Steve Manning, M-A-N-N-I-N-G. Now, there are some whispers we heard that they were going to close, so we pursued that, and being careful because some confusing messages are being sent by the state health department, and the health department basically, I can say that they've done one exceptional job in documenting and monitoring and regulating and in the enforcement. But understand, this is a town, a little village called the state of Hawaii, and the little political influences with all of the other in-bed behavior with management, government, and the businesses involved here. So we're not getting a strong message, and this dairy is part of a program or effort, the governor's efforts to have sustainable, quote, farming or subsistence or things that are grown here locally and within the state. With respects to dairies, wherever you are, you're going to still be producing waste. And the unique situation here is that this particular dairy, Big Island Dairy, is situated on state land, leased, and it was a prior dairy, and so the business was picked up and continued, or they brought in more cattle and what have you. So, but again, it's part of this bigger program. And so there's the director of in the agriculture department, Mr. Enright, Scott Enright. And Scott Enright, in his capacity as a state director of agriculture, is beside himself and operating quite loosely, and it seems to be the message that what I've gotten, what he telegraphs in public meetings and in his behavior and his response to public records requests, he's very endeared to the industry, but giving little or not a damn about the environment. I've witnessed him make promises to the O'okala community, for example, that he was going to address some of the environmental woes that were presented or suspected of being presented by the dairy and the operations of the dairy. And that was a foot drag contest, and those things were never delivered by Mr. Enright. And you make requests of Mr. Enright for, we've actually asked questions and flat out refused to answer questions. So it's operated like a quasi-private business, should be Scott Enright's Incorporation or something to that sense. But again, going back, it's part of the governor's sustainable plan. I think the 2030 or something like that, it's such nonsense because, as we will talk, these buzzwords and things of that nature seem to captivate many of you listeners out there in the environmental community about sustainability, being green and less impacts. But when we hear what transpires on this dairy and the recent activities, you have to ask yourself, is it really, should we pay any attention to what they say and try to undo what they're doing? Because if you imagine dumping cow manure, we'll call it wastewater, but it's cow manure. And some of you got a better name for it, but I won't disturb your breakfast or your lunch or whatever. And it's absolutely, it's painful watching it, and it's painful listening to the rhetoric. It's painful knowing that they're cognizant of, they being the governor and all, and they're presenting this face of packaging this dairy and other activities as green and as compatible to the environmental conditions that we have here, or the beauty of the land and all those unique species that were. And in reality, they're operating, as we say in the hood, off the hook. They don't give a damn about the environment. And I will establish that here shortly. But there was a Hurricane Lane came in, and it played into the picture. And so in last year, the state Clean Water Branch actually issued a citation for $25,000, and I don't know the status, if they ever paid it or what have you, if they contested it, they being Big Island Dairy. But prior to that inspection, and that inspection was triggered by complaints brought in by, lodged by the local community there, members of the community at Ocala. So before that, there was another inspection. But at that time, they only determined that the situation could contribute to floods and spills and what have you into the Alaialoa Gulch or the other gulch that is situated there, and it runs directly to the ocean while traversing through the hills and downhills, and some of it run through the Ocala community. You can see some of this pictures, aerial shots from of Ocala, and see how it's situated. Literally, the dairy sits uphill, and the community is down below. Now, which was first? Well, there's always been a dairy, not always, but there's been a dairy there prior to Big Island Dairy. But the measures that were in place, the BMPs that should have been in place, is the necessary preventive practices, seem to be inadequate or allowed for spillage inadvertently into the stream. Now, they don't have an NPDES permit for that facility, but the state is, and we'll talk about it, is actually still processing one. So there's a lot of things when it causes a bit of confusion and frustration, because we hear on one hand, as I've said, we talk about sustainability, it's green, the environment needs to be protected, and on and on. But the reality is the governor, his director, his Department of Health are all serving as servants to the business industry, or the milk industry, or the dairy, this particular dairy. And again, to make the governor look good. But the reality is, if the picture was painted today and put out in more than you and others could see, we could draw a conclusion that this governor is not good for any environment. So, having said that, in August of this year, and in May, they did May of 2018, and in a little earlier month, they being the Clean Water Branch, conducted an inspection again of the Big Island Dairy. And at that time, the Big Island Dairy was found to be in violations once again. So what December 4th, 2018, and I'm going to read so to make sure that we are accurate, and so that if you interested in writing letters or starting up a campaign or needing some direction, I put these documents up on carolcox.com, but you're welcome to print them off and give you some kind of a mile marker or guidance here. So this is December 4th, 2018 letter to Mr. Steve Whitesides, Big Island Dairy, 695 North, 700 East, Rupert, Idaho, 83350. Dear Mr. Whitesides, subject, notice of violation and order docket number 2018-CW-EO-27, Hawaii Water Pollution Rules and Regulations, Big Island Dairy, LLC, operating at 39-3261 Hawaii Belt Road, Ho'okala, Island of Hawaii, 96720. And this letter goes on to say, this is a notice of violation. The Department of Health, Clean Water Branch, is serving you with the enclosed notice of violation and order of NOVO for violations of Hawaii water pollution laws. The enforcement action was taken for three separate discharges of wastewater from the Big Island Dairy facility at 393261 Hawaii Belt Road, Ho'okala, between April and May 2018. Under HRS Chapter 342D and 342D-31, the DOH is ordering corrective actions and assessing a monetary penalty of $91,000. The enclosed order shall become final 20 calendar days after service. The request for hearing must be made according with the requirements listed in the NOVO. And the enclosed order shall become effective 20 calendar days unless you request a hearing in writing no later than 20 days after service. And if the penalty is paid to the DOH within 30 days after it becomes due and payable, the director may initiate a civil lawsuit to recover the penalty. Please be aware that the NOVO only addresses those specific violations cited. The DOH Clean Water Branch reserves its right to seek full penalties for any other violations of the HRS Chapter 342 found pursuant to this notice or failures to meet the included October order. The DOH is aware that you plan to either sell, and this is critical, sell or close the dairy. While sale or closure may be forthcoming, you remain required to prevent any polluted discharges, including those associated with concentrated animal feeding operations, CNMP. CAFA, operation and fuel of fertilization. Additionally, the DOH will proceed with development of a national pollutant discharge elimination system permit until it is deemed unnecessary. Now, it's nice to be nice, and you want your government to work with you, but the National Pollution Elimination Discharge System permit is to address runoff and waste generated by a business or an operation or a function. So it's rather confusing, and this is why I have such unkind words and call BS on the governor and the program and his people that are running around talking about sustainable and green and good earth practices. If the company is telling you that they are closing the dairy down, and you've been spending time, and they've been allowed to operate for a couple of years at least without the NPDES permit, but supposedly applying for one. So if the company notifies the state that, and the state is mentioning it, that the DOH is aware that you plan to either sell or close a dairy. Now, that's confusing, but why on earth would the state health department continue to process any permit when the person or the owner is telling or its representative is notifying the state that the business is going to close? So therefore, you wouldn't be generating waste and you wouldn't be needing one unless there's some backdoor dealings and unless there's some sneaky plans where they plan to sell it, let's say. But selling it does not mean they're closing it. And the party that's buying it, are they going to buy it and operate a dairy? So that's rather confusing. So that was that letter written on December 4th, the most recent, and I'm going to work backwards now. Here's an email from Matt Carano to Steve Chase and what have you, please file. And from Steve Manning, the manager of this facility. And if you want to get in touch with Big Island and do your own investigation or contact, please feel free to. We are just solely trying to serve as a public outreach and public access so that you enhance your ability to participate. So the email for Mr. Manning is Stephen, Steven, at BigIslandDairy.com. I know that sounds strange, but Stephen, Steven, at BigIsland.com. So, this is to Mr. Matt Carano from the dairy. Matt, yes, we all survived and are doing good. We hated to discharge. Keep that in mind. We hated to discharge, quote, and we were down below the pump down level before all this happened. And we were able to hold even up to 25 inches of rain in a 24-hour period. We did not start discharge anything until we reached 30 inches of rain. But we did discharge, and I called it in beforehand. The total amount discharged was, well, it should get a harp or something that's sickening that would complement this. Now, again, we're talking about managing and good people and green water, green earth, combat global warming, 2030 policy, sustainable, self-sustaining state food source, protect the environment. And again, they are discharging waste or cow manure and medicine, contaminated water with various chemicals in it. But again, here it is. We did not start to discharge anything until we reached 30 inches of rainfall. But we did discharge, and I called it in beforehand, the total amount discharged was 5,848,800 gallons. We had three pumps going and barely kept up at first. But as the storm weakened, we shut pumps off. One pump ran for 22 hours. Another ran for 25 hours. And the third pump ran for 41 hours. The dates of this were starting on August 23rd at 12 noon until August 25th. At 5 a.m., when the last pump was shut down. I hope this is what you needed. You need anything else, please let me know. Now, they knew over the years they've had problems with managing their wastewater, and they've been chastised and told that they're not properly managing, and they have devised various methods to, quote, address the wastewater problem that they have and the proper disposal of it. So in one situation, they call themselves land applying it. Then another was taking a large spray gun, I'll just call it a spray gun, and having it like an irrigation rain sprinkler, the industrial type, on wheels. And that thing would blow water over, and it would take the water from pump by tractor with the running a pump, would suck it out of the lagoons that they had on the property, that they have on the property. With, when you add it up, a couple million gallons, obviously, if one pump or whatever, if they are pumping 6 million, nearly 6 million gallons out of their holding areas that they were afraid were going to break or overflow. And that's the thing. If you thought they were going to overflow, why would you pump them out? Why not let it just flow? Let it rain, and maybe it didn't fill up. But there's something suspicious about this, because in order, and the reason they were allowed to pump this, by the way, this is a downside sometimes of preparing. I'm not saying that this is true about this particular company or these individuals in this circumstance, but I'm going to suggest that we be careful when we say the governor signed a proclamation, an emergency proclamation, waiving what? So that tells me that if there was some discussion, and that we're seeking records, some discussion prior to the actual, between the operator of the dairy and the state. Because even if the governor said, I'm issuing an emergency proclamation, I don't see any language in there that could say, as part of this proclamation, we're going to specifically allow or address or permit the dairy to dump its crap into the water, into the gullies and running into the ocean because of this emergency. So there was some, and now this is me casting aspersions on this whole process to say that this is just one cheap way of getting rid of your waste that you had to get rid of anyway. And why were you storing such waste on the property anyway? Why weren't you following up on the proposed practices that you were going to implement by looking into taking them on a honey wagon and or a tanker truck and hauling them to the landfill or the solids to the landfill or processing your wastewater? So there's something that really is going on with this this dairy practice. And the sad part about it is there's one being proposed, and I don't know if it's still being pursued as I talk to you, but on the island of Kauai, there's a dairy there, Hawaii Farm Dairy. Hawaii Dairy Farms, I'm sorry, whom the people proposing it, they found themselves in a court action. They lost. The public won this bout. We don't know if they're going to go and put it in. But again, they're thinking to be able to allow some discharge run into the Waiopili stream. So does that ring a bell? I mean, or ask you, you want to say WTF? Because why is it that we're dumping, allowing it to be dumped in the oceans on the Big Island, and the new proposal is being dumped, they want to dump it, and some of it will go into the Waiopili, fouling the soil, fouling the land, fouling the ocean, fouling the coral reef, and all of that. Not to mention the diseases and bacteria that may be presented with this on the fish population, and who knows, and the turbidity of the water changing, which then offsets some of the other conditions and triggers of environmental failure. So how is it, and we're going to ask for the records of, there had to have been, I just can't imagine that the person sitting at the dairy, we'll say Steve Manning or the manager, go looking at the weather report and say, hurricane is predicted. The governor is going to sign a proclamation for emergency funds or what have you. Now, I know that part of that could be interpreted, but someone had to tell him that we will allow you to do this because you're, if they break, if you're holding your wells or your settling ponds, if those ponds break, then that water flows downhill and damaging or ripping up or causing harm or killing people down below. Now, I don't know if they are that intimate, but they would have to be. Or they just decide to take a great risk of dumping it and figuring out, well, we'll just tell them it was an emergency proclamation and we thought we were entitled. I don't believe so. I believe that the state knows that if they're trying to sell the property, then you need to prepare it and cleanse it and not have anything that's going to hinder the sale. So what would be one of the sticking points of the, how do we get rid of your BS? And I mean real BS. It's up there in the ponds. How do we get rid of that? We're not going to buy your BS. So you get rid of the BS or you sell it to us. We'll pay you for the dairy and the assets. But if we take up the BS, then we will deduct our costs, the purchase costs, from this, from the purchase costs of cleaning it up. So the question is, this is why the state should get to learn a lesson here. Be adamant and be stricter on your enforcement and not delay, 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 because we may have another hurricane, and then all that has been spent, all the money that has been spent, all the effort and all the resources, the back and forth, airline tickets, the citing of and the involvement of EPA and all of that and the frustration to the community is thrown out of the window of concern of managing that water when all that has taken place. They can declare, we'll just dump it. So we've been trying to spending all these resources to prevent it from being spilled or accidentally or intentionally dumped. And it comes one day when there's a hurricane. They didn't say the hurricane posed a risk. It just said our pumps held up to 30. And once it got to 30, we decided to dump. So there's something seriously wrong. But I suspect, as I've said earlier, Scott Enright, the man of the hour, leads the charge while conveying to the governor, this is green. And there is some truth to that. It is green, quite green, when the BS is dumped into the stream. It turns the entire stream green, and you can't see an inch below the surface. In fact, you can't see anything because it's that turbid and that heavily laden with the solids, suspended solids, and the other waste. So that's sort of strange and begs the question of, well, if you're going to sell it, then we don't need to fix it. You sell it as is, or you sell it at assets, and you put a bond up, or you put an account or deposit money in a fund so that the state can take that money and pay for the cleanup that you left and the discharge or the treatment of that wastewater and the solids that you have. Now, they've tried to inject water into the ground through a little machine called it's like an injection. And what happens is that, and we've asked this question, and when we did helicopter flights over that, we had concerns. And these concerns became quite clear that these methods that were proposed and being explored were more than child's play, scratching at the giant's front door. It wouldn't have achieved anything. And case in point is that in these complaints, in these reports, the DOH reports and documents that the land receiving the water that was supposed to be for agriculture purposes, growing the grass or the food that was going to be used to feed cows on site, was not percolating fast enough, so therefore the discharge that they were discharging through this machine was more volume than the actual precipitation rate or percolation rate. So therefore it puddled, it built up, and it took least path of resistance against gravity, followed gravity's work down into the stream. And that's where they got their violations. But we documented that several times from the air. Again, go to carolcox.com and you can see, get a better understanding of what it is and we're talking about. One of the most threatening, in my opinion, And based on my work here in the state of Hawaii and my reading and other things, this is one of the worst environmental management concerns that the state has right now. I know we talk about coal ash and we've talked about solid waste, and we're going to be talking about solid waste in the next hour and the poor management of it and the lack thereof of management. But this one here, you're able to impact an entire coast. You're able to impact streams. You're able to impact a community, the immediate community there, subjecting them to death and threats and other harm or damage to their property, flooding, drowning. And also it's suspected that the lungworm snail, the rat lungworm snail, we'll just call him that, has increased in numbers, and they associate those increases initially with the runoff that occurred some while back from the dairy. Some of the residents that live there and that gardens and eat and forage for o'opu and lolo opai in the streams, and that also hunt for pig there and gather for veggies or gather for ferns or whatever they gather for food or medicinal or social or cultural use. And it's something isn't matching up here, because they are being allowed to operate as if none of these things matter. And who's allowing that? Governor David Ige. Scott Enright. And as I say, the state Clean Water Branch, they have, you'd be quite pleased to see the extent they go to documenting. You know, that is one of the things I've always said. You don't have to put your life on the line or your job on the line or worry about being retaliated against and all of that for speaking out. But if you are an investigator and it's your purpose and duty to go and investigate, do the investigation. Let them dare fire you because you did your investigation. Because if you didn't do it, when you know what hit the fan, or the politicians get cornered, or Enright find himself in a bind, they'll turn on you and say, well, why didn't you were there, why didn't you do your job and report it to us? So it's a double-edged sword for the workers, and I believe the greatest compliment should be paid to this Clean Water Branch. To the degree that they've gone and documented. So it's up to us dummies now. If we want to complain or don't want to do anything, don't want to get off our asses and do anything and going to just whine about it, then we're deserving of the treatment that we tolerate. Because they have actually written it out. I mean, you can't ask for a better report. I'm sure that it could be improved. But based on what I've read in these reports, they've got some damn good men and women that are working and doing their job in the Clean Water Branch. I can assure you of that by just looking at the reports. And they lend themselves to good information. It lends themselves to transparency. It allows me to not even leave my office and be able to get a pretty much accurate idea, a picture of what is going on, because they have laid the foundation and left good tracks so that we, the general public, and so if we won't get off our lazy asses and say anything about it or hold the governor or ask the governor or ask why, what do you mean you're processing a permit when they just told you they're selling the damn place? What nonsense is that? And they're saying, and they're giving you specifics. And I'm going to get into those specifics about right now. This is from David Claiborne. I guess this is a lawyer for Big Island Dairy, to Matt Carano. And it's carbon copy to Derek Whiteside's dad, Dan Stinson, Ed Bolin of Department of Attorney General's Office, Harrison Smith, and Katie Vandenberg. Subject, Big Island Dairy, Novo. Following is BID's present closure plan. So I had asked and inquired, so if they notified you that they're going to close, Big Island Dairy notified the state that they're going to close, and they're going to close their operation, the dairy, and they are committed to closing it, and Big Island Dairy is going to sell out to someone that's going to buy their assets or buy the dairy. Why do we need to even be engaged with them? That we should be preparing because of the environmental concerns and the runoff and the silt and the possibly issues of erosion because of the impacts the cattle have generated up there, triggered. BID will cease milk production and processing in an orderly manner by the end of April 2019. This email. BID is exploring opportunities to sell its assets to a buyer that may undertake dairying and milk processing in accordance with its own permits and regulatory approvals. During this process, BID will reduce the number of animals in confinement, maintain adequate staff to oversee dairy operations, including waste and nutrient management, consistent with the draft CNMP. Now, they should have had a CNMP already, but again, one finalized, but again, they were operating on a draft. See the tolerance that we want to be so green and worry about the world's oceans, and yet we're dragging our feet on a source that's known to be contributing to the decline or the demise of the poor conditions of the ocean. The confinement and waste treatment facilities, and consult with the Hawaii Department of Health throughout the process. BID will provide HDOH progress reports as it completes and completes the activities noted below. Timelines may be accelerated if business plans allow. Timelines may be exceeded if animal welfare care dictates or needs dictate. Cattle removal schedule. Confined animals will not exceed the following numbers. November 2018, 750 mature cows, 700 young stock. December 2018, 725 mature cows, 675 young stock. February 2019, 725 mature cows, 600 young stock. March 2019, 500 mature cows, 600 young stock. April 2019, 0 mature cows, 400 young stock. May 2019, 0 mature cows, 0 young stock. So they're saying by May 2019, they're going to be zero cows in their operations. They're going to be done. Curtains fall. Facilities cleanup. December 2018, upper heifer pen scraped, washed, and flushed. Transfer pipes double flushed. Inlet cap. 2019, upper free stall pen scraped, washed, and flushed. Transfer pipes double flushed. inlet pipes capped. April 2019, lower freestall pin scraped, washed and flushed, transfer pipes double flushed, inlet capped. 2019, old freestall pin scraped, washed and flushed, transfer pipes double flushed, inlet capped. Composter, waste transfer pits, separator cells, scraped high volume, low pressure washed and scrubbed. Feed areas are cleared of feed, swept and washed. June 2019, upper and lower lagoons agitated and cleared, refilled with water agitated, with clean water agitated, rewashed and emptied via land application. Thank you, Mr. Claiborne. Now, I know that's a long way around to get to the grocery store, but it's important because, see, I talked to a couple people just yesterday, and I asked them, and they're in the know, and I asked them, are you familiar with the old collar situation and the Big Island dairy situation and the fact that it's reported it's going to close? Oh no, they've already closed. There are no more cows up there. There are no cows at all. This is as recent as yesterday, and then also Friday, two people. And so I know that we did a couple of news stories on it and talked about it, and that may have misled or misinformed people. But the word out on the street is that they're closed. They're not operating anymore. But the reality is that they're getting fines and just receiving NOVAs because they're violating the law in their operations, or allegedly violating, and then they have the right to appeal it or go before a hearing, a judge. And they're telling what's going to happen there. They give away the environment. That is just, you talk about a nightmare. Hawaii is so broken, folks, that it is so sadly shredded and ripped and pieced together that what we think is criminal behavior sometimes and corruption, it's just stupid stuff. I swear to you. You look at it sometimes, there are no guys in the back room on every situation. It's just dumb stuff. Dumb. I mean, you got a cadre of inspectors at the health department do their work, work hard, commit it, and then you get a letter from someone saying, well, here's our cleanup plan, our closure plan. What I read you is not a formal closure plan, but they submitted as one. What I told you is that the NPDES permits, they don't have one. It's still in the making. They are now, things are up in the air, whether they're going to sell it or the person's going to buy it or buy the assets and might open up a dairy themselves. Well, the way things are being done, and it appears that the state health department and its leaders and the governor and Scott Enright knows that somebody wants to operate it. So my question is, who? Is it the people from Kauai? I mean, if you already got a dairy that's in operation and you're being beaten back on Kauai and you, quote, wanted sustainable and, you know, local grown milk and what have you, why not? I suspect, and they've been very kind to that organization too, or that company, who are proposing on Kauai. So something just not right. It really is, it's just wrong. So, Now, Matt Carano wrote back to Mr. Claiborne or whomever, as a courtesy given tomorrow's meeting, attached is a copy of the DOH Novo notice of violation that will be issued tomorrow. The Novo includes exhibits, all of which were too large to email. The 20 days to contest the Novo shall begin once a complete copy is served to you, either via certified mail or in person. Now, if you go to carolcox.com and you are inclined to engage or look at this or want, you know, and you believe that my approach and delivery was inefficient or not good enough for you, we're just making the best effort we can to inform you or those that want to know the truth and the facts rather than go half-cocked. And so that's why we go out and get these records. And what I've provided to you so far in reading comes from it's a product of me filing a UIPA, Uniform Information Practices Act, request. You and I as citizens have a right to ask, for those that don't know, we have a right under the Sunshine Law, you know, that 92F goes under the Information Practices Act, or this process is that if you know there's a subject that you're interested in, and I'm just giving you the basics, all you have to do is, it's headed by the Lieutenant Governor, comes under the Lieutenant Governor's office, and you just go there, or you can go online and print off the form, send it to tell the agency that you want the information from, write them saying I request copies. It, in fact, it's pretty simple. Or the form, just say you just ask for copies. If you want to view them, indicate that you want to view them, and that requires you to go down to the office where those records are found. In the situation where the hazardous emergency environmental response, I may have twisted it around, but you want records from them, they have a unique process where, and I hope that every state agency would eventually do this, but they have a website where you file a request for, let's say you want to see the Big Island Dairy. They will in turn, whatever it was that you requested, will download that and send you a notice that the records that you requested are available on the server. And you just go there and, I mean, someone devised a method there. It is just awesome. And so it keep dumb people like me saying dumb things. Because, you know, we can all have the tendency of being half-cocked or reckless with our comments and our words and representing them as facts. So this sort of eliminates that potential or that catastrophic misstep. So you just, if it's a Hawaii, the environmental, so let's say a tanker truck spill, and it's in your neighborhood, and you want to know if it has any impacts or what the specifics are or whatever, you just pick up the phone, call the Hazardous Emergency Environmental Response office under the Department of Health, and tell them you want to come in and look at some documents. But if they got them, they'll take them, they'll scan them in, send you a notice, then you go on your computer, type in the password, and voila, you have the whole world at your fingertips with the documentation. So there's a lot of things that really works at the DOH, but they are tainted with politics and special favor. And some of them are driven by some of their policies and their practices and responses are driven by the qualms or the, well, the the needs of the governor. You see, because when you win and you want to get in again, you got to make yourself look good. So sometimes the governors will use these offices to just put a spin on something or delay delivery of information or keep the public in the dark until the elections are over. And it happens. Donald Trump didn't invent these things. In fact, I think someone told me they think that Donald Trump cut his teeth here in corruption, that because this was a place to go. You know, who knows? We'll never know. But there are so many parallels. And so when you go back to thinking about why on earth would the state health department allow Hawaii Dairy Farms to operate as they did without fully being permitted and what have you. And the courts ruled that they were taking actions that were not consistent with the law. And they were ruled against, they being the proposed builders of the dairy, and the nonprofit Friends of Mahaulepu succeeded in filing a case against them. So there's a lot, and Big Island Dairy is not to be pushed aside when you look at and quantify the environmental impacts and the potential. It's substantial. And so we're going to post some of the pictures of the land application and of the water and show you that what they should have been doing, managing it, but instead they get a courtesy. You know, they get a courtesy. And it's a sad state of affairs. And you to see how cocky this guy Scott Enright is when it comes to hanging out with the big boys at the dairy and his ability to separate the needs of the people and the being sincere and being transparent to the love and camaraderie that he has with the dairy industry. See, he should be neutral, and his purpose is to enhance the economy, enhance the governor's goals, and enhance whatever the governor's platform and planks he's supposed to be expected to try and accomplish that. But don't knock down the whole village to please two people and a mantra that says we want to go green and sustainable and preventing global warming. And yet you listening to that come out of the governor's mouth and all of this and preserving the environment and all, and you're allowing methane generated by cow shit sitting in millions and millions and millions of gallons, just evaporating and breathing in the air and emitting. And then you want to turn around and say, we want to be green. Well, in this case, I'm not green with envy. I am red hot. This is, and I hope to bring this in the hope that you see the importance of the need to be sustainable. Probably it's good that we have our own food sources here. Why import them? It surely reduces the need for fossil fuels and trucking food items here and other materials. But if you're producing milk and in turn producing greenhouse depleters by improperly managing the wastewater and fouling the oceans and the streams, and then don't even talk about the potential for groundwater contamination. Don't mention the danger that it poses if one of those or all of those break in heavier rains due to erosion. And if you read some of the older reports, and I'm going to post up for your interest and for any of you out there, not all of the inspection reports, but I think we're going to post back the inspection reports where they fined them $25,000 and the report prior to that. But if you have questions, please contact me at carol@carolcox.com or envirowatch@envirowatch.org. And we'll get you those documents or put a link to the website that we have at carolcox.com. And just have at it. So it was nice talking to you folks today, and hope that something works out here. And join me in the next hour at carolcox.com on talk808.com. Aloha.